Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for 35 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. And if you had the chance to join us last time, you know that we've started a brand new series that I'm very excited about. I call it Clearly Stated Portraits of God. And the reason I'm calling it that is that most of you who've been tuning in know that I see portraits of God all throughout the scripture, and I use two-word combinations to entitle that portrait of God that shows us His character and heart. But this series, we're going to focus on the portraits that He names Himself. Yeah, for example, last week we talked about He is our bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. And today, we're going to talk about the time when He said to a woman at the well, I am the living water. And we're going to unpack that metaphor quite a bit today as we take our journey through His love letters to us. And if you have your Bibles or a device, let me invite you to make your way over to John chapter 4, where we'll start our journey today, looking at this portrait of God about how He is our living water. And just a quick reminder that all of these 27-minute broadcasts are archived on my website at markpg.org. It's all about soul care. I call it Helping You Hear God. And if you want to go to that, you will find that you can just click on the broadcast box on the landing page. And then on the next page, you can start clicking on boxes for the series, Portraits of God. And then you'll see all the options on the next page for you to listen to if you want to catch up, or if you want to listen to a message once again, or you want to share it with others. So that's markpg.org, my website called Helping You Hear God. Well, as we get started, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Lord, I love coming into Your presence with my brothers and sisters. I love to sit at Your feet, Lord. I love to listen for Your heart, to speak to our heart and touch our hearts where we need to be touched. And today, as we're looking at this particular metaphor or portrait that You gave us, how You are our living water, Lord, I pray I'll be able to unpack it in a way that really just touches us where we need to be touched today. Oh, I ask for nothing less than that. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, if you're over John chapter 4, we're going to pick up this marvelous story in verse 1. When Jesus meets a woman at the well, here's what the Bible says. It says, when Jesus knew that the Pharisees heard He was making and baptizing more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself was not baptizing, but His disciples were, He left Judea and He went again to Galilee, but He had to travel through Samaria. Well, He came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the property that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, worn out from His journey, sat down at the well, and it was about 6 in the evening. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Give me a drink, Jesus said to her, for His disciples had gone into town to buy food. How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? She asked Him, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Now verse 10, Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would ask Him, and He would give you living water. Sir, said the woman, you don't even have a bucket, and the well is deep, so where do you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock. Now, verse 13, Jesus said, everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again, ever. In fact, the water I give him will become a well of living water springing up within him for eternal life. Well, the story goes on to talk about this marvelous encounter that Jesus had with this woman, where she talks about her family life, and Jesus says, well, I know you've had more than one husband, and she's astonished, and the whole thing unfolds, and that's for another message at another time. Right here, I want us to take time just to stop and be still and think through this marvelous metaphor, this marvelous portrait of God about how He is our living water. He's not dead water. He's not water that's going to poison or anything like that. He's living water, and I love how he describes how it will just keep coming forth and coming forth and coming forth. And one of the many things I love about this story, too, is the Lord's kindness towards this woman. I mean, she had a double negative in the cultural sense in that era, in that she was a woman, and men very rarely, if ever, encountered or engaged in conversation with women. You just don't do that. And you really don't do that with Samaritans either. The two cultures had huge, huge divisions between them over years and years of things. So she was totally astonished that this Jewish man would talk to her as a Samaritan woman. You know, that's a good reminder about the gospel. It's open to everyone. And there's a possibility for everyone to come to Christ. And we have the opportunity with kindness to engage them, kindness to bring up the things of God, to see the possibility of somebody maybe not coming all the way to the cross and salvation with just one encounter with us, but at least one step closer to the cross. Hey, as a matter of fact, studies show that people these days in particular need to hear the gospel presented 6 or 7 times in their life before they really get it and have their eyes opened. It's kind of like the Lord draws us slowly, gradually, little steps, one at a time. And my friend, our responsibility as believers is not to save people. Jesus does the saving by His Holy Spirit. We're just there to offer the good news, the gospel. That's what the gospel means, good news. We're there to offer the good news that God loves you more than you can possibly imagine. God came to ask you to, in effect, marry Him or enter covenant with Him. And if you do, He has already has done the work on the cross in our era. He's already done the work on the cross so that His blood covers us for sin and you get saved. And this was a precursor to all of that, as Jesus Himself, with His kindness, was reaching out and planted the seeds of the gospel in the heart of this woman who apparently had her heart prepared to receive, that's the Holy Spirit's work, the mysteries of God, and she did receive the living water that Jesus was offering, Himself, His gospel, His truth, His salvation, His blood that cleanses sin, and on and on and on. An incredible thing. It is the kindness of the Lord that leads to repentance or a change of mind, the scripture says. And so I hope that you'll just keep that in mind, that in all these opportunities we have to share the gospel with people, they might not come to Christ in that particular encounter, but we can surely get them one step closer to the cross with the kindness, with the sincerity, with the authenticity, with the joy, with the hope in Christ that we can offer. And by the way, one of the easiest ways to start that kind of a gospel conversation is by offering to pray for people. You know, I've been doing this for many, many years. I call it pray evangelism. In fact, just yesterday I was at a barbecue place and just kind of having a personal work luncheon, kind of with the Lord, with my notes and a book that I was going through while I was eating some barbecue in a place. And any server that I get to meet at any restaurant, I always, always love to, you know, find out their name at first. And then when they bring the water and stuff, I say, hey, listen, we love praying for people. If it's people with me at the table, I'll say, we're going to be praying here in just a moment. Is there anything in particular we can pray for you about? And then at that point, I get suggestive, you know, like family or finances or health or whatever. And I'm telling you right now, are you ready for this? 99% of the time, there will be a positive response to that. And that's phenomenal. It might be just kind of a polite response and everything from a tearful response. Yesterday that happened. I was at this restaurant, happened to be by myself. So in this case, I said, you know, my wife and I love to pray for people. Is there any way we can pray for you? I appreciate your helping me today here, but anything in particular we can pray about for you? And I named her name, you know, family, finances, health, whatever. And she looked at me, she began tearing up a little bit and said, oh, actually, yeah, you can pray for my son. I said, oh, really? Well, what's going on? How old is he? Well, he's 8 years old. And, well, we lost his daddy a few years ago, and he's still having a hard time getting over that. Oh, I said, I am so sorry. I bless your heart. I can't imagine how difficult that has been. Oh, yes, and for him, for sure. I said, well, I'm sure for you as well. And this is one of those times when I sense the Lord saying, pray for her right now. Normally, we just pray as a group, or I pray later, and they know that we're doing that. But sometimes, I hear the whisper of God that says, pray for her right now. And so I said, may I just pray with you for just a moment? She's, oh, well, yes, thank you. And so I did. It was just a 30-second prayer of lifting her up into the very presence of God, the reminder of his love for her and how he's there to comfort her and her son. And after I finished, she thanked me, still trying to hold back tears because she was still at work in a restaurant, other people around. That's why I kept it brief. But I also took the time to say, you might try a particular church I mentioned to her. That was in the area of Southwest Florida that she had told me about. A wonderful, thriving church. The Lord's doing a powerful work there. I said, you know, churches are about really family. It's family to walk with you. It's not about rules and regulations and rituals. It's about family. You might try them out. Oh, thank you so much. The kindness of the Lord leads to repentance. It may be one step at a time toward the cross. In fact, it will be. You never know when it's going to be the last of the 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 steps or presentations of the gospel by the time you get there. But the Lord is blessed when we offer the good news of salvation, that he is the living water, that we will live forever and have a wellspring coming out of us, even while we're still on this earth after we get saved. And that's the promise of the gospel. That's the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just love this story in John chapter 4 about his utter kindness and grace toward a Samaritan woman, though it was not the tradition. It was not the custom. Because there was something far more important. And that was an introduction to the Lord Jesus Christ, the living water, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Wow. And that's evangelism, by the way, my friends. We're not trying to do a sell job on people. I hope you don't approach evangelism as we got to convince them, we got to talk them into it. We're offering the gift of Jesus Christ. We're offering the gift of salvation. We're offering a peace that surpasses all understanding. We're offering the bread of life that will mean you will never go hungry. We're offering the living water where we'll never go thirsty. That is a gift we're offering, not a sell job. Certainly not an argument, but a gift from above in kindness. Well, I love how the scripture goes on to use the water metaphor in other places. Let me just highlight three more as we're looking at this theme about how Jesus is the living water. Let me take you over to Proverbs chapter 4. This is a marvelous, marvelous passage there. It says this: above all else, guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. Well, so even in the New Testament, the Old Testament Proverbs, it kind of foreshadows the spring of life or the living water that Jesus was talking about here in Luke 4. And I just love this because what catches my attention is how it starts out with above all else. Above all else, guard your heart. My friends, the Christian life, living at any depth in Christ, it's about the heart. Don't stop with head knowledge. Let it go all the way down to your hearts. Meditate on it. Think about it. Ponder these things. I love how several times during the Christmas story, Mary would ponder these things in her heart, and others would as well. Going to the heart level is where the real supernatural things begin to happen in our lives, my friend. The enemy is targeting our heart. He and his minions are always trying to discourage us, confuse us, make us angry, make us bitter, make us feel betrayed by God, that God's holding out on us, like he said to Eve in the Garden of Eden, "Oh, surely you will not die if you eat of this fruit. That's just going to make you wise," and cast doubt and all that. It's about the heart. That's why this passage says, above all else, guard your heart. Don't let bitterness settle in. Don't let anger or envy or any of those things, discouragement and disorientation, settle. Guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. I love how the scripture also tells us, going back to the New Testament now, to take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. I get the idea of a kind of a butterfly net. We have all these thoughts that are floating around outside our minds, maybe like moths or butterflies trying to get into our mind and stuff. Some of them are the enemy. Some of them are just the flesh and this world system of its lies and its seductions and all that stuff. But within us, if we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit who's also trying to speak truth to us. So when you have these thoughts that come up, and you're not sure about it, well, take it captive. Put that net around it. Let me look at this more carefully. What does the scripture say about this thing? Above all else, guard your heart. Don't let these lies, don't let these suggestions, these seductions, these impressions go unchecked. Many impressions are from God. It's his whispers from above. You hear me talk about that all the time. But the enemy likes to also whisper as well and likes to approach us as an angel of light. Because he's smart enough to know that if he comes with a full frontal assault, we typically can spot that and reject it if we're believers. So take every thought captive in obedience to Christ, and above all else, guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. By the way, this is where I start explaining what soul care is. I call this preventative soul care. Guarding your heart or guarding your soul from what goes in there is so important. Because that which goes in, it's like a virus. If you let a virus into your laptop or on your cell phone or whatever, it's going to wreak havoc, right? You don't want a virus there or in your physical body. So the enemy tries to put these lies and these seductions at play in our hearts and minds to infect us. So we need to practice preventative soul care by, above all else, guard our hearts, taking thought captive in obedience to Christ. Cultivate a quiet time with the Lord where you're feeding on his word and you're with him in prayer, and you've cultivated a family of faith that can help you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's kind of preventative soul care. There's a couple of other passages I want to wrap up with that gives us pictures of what I call restorative soul care and explorative soul care. So let me take you there. We just were looking at Proverbs chapter 4 about how above all else we're to guard our heart, for from it flow the springs of life. The more you abide in Christ, the more you dive into Christ, the more you will have flowing out of your very being as a reflex the springs of life, Jesus Christ. Wow, I love that. Well, now if we go to the classic portion of scripture that we call the 23rd Psalm, in the opening verses, it talks about how the Lord is our shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And here we go. Here's the water coming up. He leads me beside quiet waters. Some translations say still waters. And he restores my soul. Well, here it is, restorative soul care. Why do we need restorative soul care? Well, the reason is we're living in a brutal world, a very hard world. Jesus said, you will have tribulation in this world, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. In Christ, we can hide ourselves in Christ. He is our fortress. He is our refuge in the midst of all of the complexities, all of the chaos, all the tribulations that we face in this world, my friends. And the way he does that is by sometimes making us lie down in green pastures, which that used to bother me a lot as a kid. I hate for people to make me lie down. I kind of get the picture of parents trying to put their kids to sleep. Lie down, you know, go to sleep, or I'm going to take all your toys away or something. You know, we get agitated and all. No, it's more like a lifeguard who spots a swimmer that's drowning. And he or she dives in to save them, and they're taught. Now, when you go and try to save this person, they're panicking. They're going to be flailing about. You will get hit, but hang in there. Try to make them lie down on the water. Lay back. Shh, okay, I got this. I got you. It's okay. He makes us lie down in green pastures and leads us beside still waters, or in this other metaphor, helps us lie down in these waters, so that the rescuer can hold him. I got you. I got you. Shh, shh, shh. Just breathe. Just breathe. I got you. I'm going to take you back. I got you. That's us, Lord. That's us. That's the Lord. He loves to restore our souls when we have been seduced. We can't prevent everything. This world is way too complex. The enemy is way too clever. Things will get by us. We will get hurt. We will feel betrayed. We will have wounded hearts and broken hearts, deceived hearts. And we need the counselors and the pastors and the best friends and the teachers to help us walk through seeing our own heart and the broken spots, that we can experience the restorative soul care that we see in this passage. He leads us beside quiet waters. Shh, 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 shh. And he restores our soul. Well, the Psalms give us another picture, another water metaphor. I love it. And we see it over in Psalm 42. And when we get there, we see this is the famous one that says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my heart longs or yearns for you. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and appear before the Lord? Isn't it great that we can come before him at any time? He welcomes us there. And then in verse 5, it says, well, why am I so depressed? Why is my turmoil within me? Well, put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior, my God. But I am deeply depressed, and therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan and the peaks of Hermon and from Mount Mizar. And then I love this in verse 7. Deep calls to deep. And the roar of your waterfalls. Deep calls the deep. What's that saying? My friend, no matter how deep your struggles, how deep your anguish, how deep your grief, even how deep your anger, the Lord is deeper still. Deep calls to deep. Our deep anguish can call out to God for help, but it works the other way. It's the Lord calling to us to come on, come deeper, come deeper. Experience me at the deeper levels of my heart, and character. For those of you who've been around, you know I've done a series on the deeper dive in Christ and described that. You can go to my website at markpg.org and look for that one. But for today, I just want us to take a deep breath, be still, lay back, because He's got us. And He loves to whisper to us. And He's holding us. And no matter how choppy the waters, no matter how violent the winds that we're experiencing in this life, oh, He's got us. He's got us, my friends, because He is our living water. And when we partake of Him daily, have time with Him weekly, taking time to worship with the church family, annually abandoning with Him just to get away and get some perspective, He loves to speak to us and give us more and more of His living water. So don't forget the woman at the well who met the living water face to face. Don't forget, above all else, guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. Don't forget that He leads us beside quiet waters and He restores our soul. That's restorative soul care. We saw preventative soul care, restorative, then finally explorative soul care, where He says, dive deeper into Me. Explore the depths like the oceans, because I'm even more vast than that. That is our God, my friends. That is our living water. Well, Lord, we just thank You for giving us these portraits of Yourself about how much You love us and how deep we can go in You. Thank You for being our living water. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org for more. Until next time, fall in love with Jesus, our living water.